to get a cookie.
Welcome to Talk About Talk with Shanti Niven and Desiree Luthi. Shanti and Desiree are professional speakers and trainers of world-class speakers and anyone who wants to improve their oral communication skills and their lives. Listen in as they share their captivating speaker secrets over morning coffee. Tune in weekdays from 7:30 to 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And don't forget to follow the show or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
I always feel like that drumming goes on forever.
Good morning, everybody. Good Monday morning. As you guys will hear, my voice this morning is kind of gone because I had a lot of fun last night, but not that kind of fun. Not the kind of fun you're thinking.
Excuse me? What kind of fun were you talking about?
The partying, I guess. Yeah, as people think. No.
Well, no.
Although it was a party, I guess. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Miss Desiree here was an auctioneer with a difference. Is it auctioneer? The word for a female.
An auctioneeress.
I don't know. There's a good question for our audience.
But I was really the MC, the auctioneer, the whole show.
So this is a great big event where they auctioned off human flesh. No, I'm joking.
But they did. And it was so much fun. And we had such a blast. But it was outside, so it was a little bit cold last night. And there was a lot of people. And the mics weren't as loud as they should have been. So I had to speak really loud into the mic anyways.
Oh.
And speaking very fast, by the way, doing the auctioneer.
Getting everybody revved up and excited, which is what
Desiree
knows how to do very well.
And I gave them some nice pickup lines to use on their dates.
Oh, did they go down well?
You know how the crowd takes it, my cheesy pickup lines. They're just so bad that they're good.
We have to explain this. By the way, this is for charity.
Yes.
For a cancer support charity, and what it really was is they were auctioning off dates for really good-looking young women and men.
And it was a silent auction. They had cruise giveaways, timeshares. They had all types of amazing giveaways as well. But the bachelors and bachelorettes, this was the first time that she's ever had this. There were only 11 guys. There were 11 guys and only 5 women. So usually it's the flip side of it. Normally they don't have enough men, and there's a ton of women. But it actually worked in favor because there were so many men in the audience last night. So many women in the audience last night. So
I was
going
to say so many men.
Many women.
Okay, no, I'm not going to say that. That's going to sound totally not PC. I was going to say, what happens if a man?
No, they can. They can choose. They can do that. But they're not voting. They vote for the date package, really. So the date package could include dinners, wine tasting, theater. It includes all types of stuff. So a lot of people were bidding on the date package, not just the date. And then they could choose whether they wanted to go on the date or not.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And you said that the men and women were all good-looking, young.
They were all very good-looking and dancing on stage. I got them all dancing and doing a move on stage for the audience. And it was a lot of fun.
And I'm going to be all snooty here. How disgusting that we have to auction off human flesh to raise money.
But it was so cute. It was so cute. It was a lot of fun.
I'm not being an old person.
And how nervous they were.
It was all in the fun of charity, and these guys had kindly volunteered to be auctioned off on a date with whoever had bid the most money, and obviously all of this goes to charity, so we're very happy. And Des was saying one of the guys in the first couple of minutes had gone up to $700.
$700.
Oh, my goodness.
He was the highest.
I think if you'd been amongst the girls on the
day. Everyone was like, when are you going to be? And I was like, no, I'm fine. Because I was scared. What happens? I could imagine everyone up there being so terrified that they're not going to get bid on. And it's scary because I'm up there with them and I'm looking at everyone. I'm like, please, please start the bidding. Start.
Yeah. Well, you know what you could always do is you could put a call in the audience. Make sure your husband or your wife or your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend. That's what I would do. At least one of them bids on you. Because can you imagine
how scary it would be?
Yes. I mean, if you're the only one, then nobody puts their flag up for. Okay, let's get into the subject. Because that was a great way to start, and that's why Desi has a little bit of a croaky voice this morning. Now, the way that we thought we would handle the shows in future is we're running every Monday, as you know, and every Friday with our Friday Funnies. Every Monday with our speaking tips. Great speaking tips for those aspiring speakers amongst us. But Monday is really for the public at large. And then we're going to be running an extra show during the week, which will be just for our Club Captivate members. And if you don't know what Club Captivate membership is, well, you need to find out. Go and check out shantiniven.com, www.shantiniven.com. Click on Club and go in and check that all out. Okay, and let's get into the show today. And what we thought we would do, last week we spoke about filler words and how we dilute our speech using all these verbal pauses. This is human beings' desire to fill empty space with something. We are so afraid of silence. And I think it's a really good idea for us to become au fait with silence and to use it to our benefit, to pause rather than to use some sort of verbal crutch.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spoke about colloquial expressions such as like and you know.
And that's the thing with like. I feel I've been hanging around so many people last night, and now I'm starting to say like. It just sneaks back into the vocabulary. It's not even my fault. As long as you catch yourself doing it, but hey, I'm human, it happens. So,
well,
here we go.
The thing is, it is vernacular. It is common to California. And the moment you hear the likes creeping in, that is very surfer California. And it really sets people apart.
Like, totally, you know.
I can't even sound like that, really. I try to. But it is viral. It's very infectious. When you hang around with people who speak like that, that's how you're going to speak. So I think it's really important that we try to focus on speaking better.
Mm-hmm.
And when we hang around people, that we become more conscious and stop ourselves. I was reading an article about how to get rid of these words, and one of them said, record yourself, which is obvious. We said that in our last show. The second one is to say to weed them out altogether. Even, for example, like is a word that you can use as a simile.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think of an example of that. Soft, like a baby's bottom. Or, I like baby's bottoms. So, okay, Desiree, don't give me that.
I'm just kidding.
If you've ever been a mother, you cannot help but like a baby's bottom. They're very cute.
Just kidding.
But to find other words for the word like. In other words, for a week, completely ban the word like.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use it at all in any context. And so you would say similar to instead of saying like a. And I love or I enjoy or use a simile and decide in advance what those similes are going to be and not use that word at all, just so that you can become conscious of it.
Well, I think our method is very effective when we work with the kids and adults. Now, the adults, we don't really go into the song so much. We joke around about it, but we give them instant feedback, and I find that to be the most effective. And in the first class, the first 30 minutes or the first section of recording them and them speaking, they catch on right away that they're saying them.
It's very funny. On Saturday, we started with a new group of kids, which I've got to tell you, at GC Studios.
Amazing.
What a great group of kids.
Amazing.
Including one little boy that I just know is going to be the most adorable little boy ever. He's one of those little boys that says the cutest things that just make you want to roll all over the floor laughing, and he's very serious. And we started pointing out to them the filler words, and I just know this week is going to be fun for them and for their parents.
Because they're growing. This is a week of growth, and they don't realize it. And the first thing they said to me in the class is, well, what happens if we don't grow? What happens if we don't change or we don't develop and we don't catch on to this? And I'm like, watch, the first class, guess what happened? See, there it goes. I've been infected. Last night, I blame everyone from last night.
Okay. That's the thing, is that what's going to happen now is you start off when you grow as a speaker, as your first stage is conscious incompetence. And you remember the growth goes from being unconscious incompetence, which means you don't know that you don't know. Then as you make people aware, and we made the kids aware of their filler words, they go to another stage, which is called conscious incompetence. And that's probably the worst stage because you think you're actually going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You are so conscious of all the filler words that you use. And sometimes what happens is you say a filler word and you go, like, oops. And so you actually add another verbal pause to it because you're suddenly aware of it, mm-hmm. and your speech seems to be very stilted. But it's okay. That's actually a very important part, or very, very important stage of the growth period is to become aware of the times that you do this. Stop yourself, think about it. And the next step is conscious competence, which means that rather than say the filler word, the like, that you just stop and pause. You'll notice the Cathy, for example, good example of that. There's a very obvious pause. When she's thinking, she'll stop, she'll think, and then she'll move on. And it's actually, it's fine. It's better than using all of these ums and ahs, which really do dilute
they clutter
the speech.
They clutter your speech, absolutely.
As you said to the kids on Saturday, we often use this analogy. We say, if you're going to be planting a garden, think about the seeds being your words. There are beautiful seeds. There are roses and violets and poppies and all sorts of beautiful flowers, and the filler words are the weeds. And if you've got too many filler words, a few of them are okay. If you've got too many filler words, what happens is that your garden is overrun with weeds and people lose the content. The beautiful garden is destroyed. So that's enough about the filler words of last week. And we just mentioned conscious communication, being conscious of what you're saying. So this week, I thought we would talk about a little bit about the way that we speak, not necessarily the what.
Because the way you speak is very important. It's not just your body.
Yeah.
What words are you using? And being very careful, because I find this with myself. I put in so much information because I want to give it all away, but people aren't able to digest it. So it's being very select with how you're using your words and removing the fluff and being the KISS method.
Keep it simple.
Silly. Not stupid. Silly.
Okay, folks, so the way we talked about how, or the words that we use this week, we're going to use about the way that you express those words. And one thing I'm going to be doing very soon is presenting to an association of human resource people.
Of humans.
So frustrating. I have had a little bug, and yes, that would be wonderful. Desiree is offering me some water. I'm back to coughing. And that's probably why it's important for me to do vocal exercises as well. But I'm going to be presenting to an association of human resource people. And what I'm going to be talking to them about, they've already presented to them a section on body language. And I'm going to be this time be talking about the voice. And what I thought I would do with them is talk about the tone of voice specifically. Because within your tone of voice, you convey so much of your message. If, just to make a perfect example, if you're married, and men will know this, and you say to your wife, are you okay? And she says, I'm fine. You know immediately she's not fine. And so that's when the tone of voice belies the actual words. And what we're going to speak about to these human resource people is how to convey a difficult message in a warm way. And so we talk about warm tone as opposed to cool tone, how to make your voice warm and understanding. And the biggest tip that I can offer you all as listeners is, honestly, just with one little tiny change, is to smile when you speak. You'd be surprised. When you are speaking on the telephone, for example, I can tell immediately when somebody is smiling. It completely changes person's voice, and it makes the voice warmer automatically.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is that I get into that mode, I've learned this, where I need a smile in my speeches. It also brings a different energy about me. But then I sometimes forget when I'm talking about something serious and I need to stop smiling, because sometimes you just, and you don't mean to, it's not that you're laughing at the serious topic, it's just you're looking at the audience and you're trying to project that love and energy to them, because that's something we teach. It's just giving them that back, and you forget that, oh, my content is actually supposed to be, let's get into that mode and focus on what we're saying.
I think what happens there is, let's say you're presenting a speech, because let's face it, when you're presenting a speech, you shouldn't be acting.
It's not acting. But
it's not about acting or performing. It's about delivering an authentic message that is
but
real.
But recognizing what you're saying.
But here's the difficulty. Here's the difficulty. Let's say, for example, I'm talking about a difficult subject. I'm sharing something in my life that was very, very tough. But when you repeatedly share that same speech over and over again, something happens. And the difficulty with being desensitized is that you no longer connect to the emotion. It then becomes about delivering that speech again. And that's a danger. But it's very important to get in the moment because, as Desiree said, you always start off your speech, or before you start your speech, from a smiling place. Always warm, embracing of the audience, immediately drawing them in. But when you start your speech, let's say you start from a very dramatic point, a moment of silence, and then you begin. But you need to connect to your message. And then the second bit of advice, which is one of our central themes to our brand, is it's not about you, it's about them.
Exactly.
And so if you're very self-focused and self-absorbed, it's very difficult to present a message in a very authentic way. Whereas if you are concentrating on your audience and you're really wanting to give them something, you want to share something with them that you know can help them. That then starts to make a big difference to your speaking.
Oh, absolutely.
It really does, because you're conveying a message.
And I just want to touch on the point where you said of not being authentic, because I want to make it clear. We've heard it from a lot of people. It's like, well, how do I tune into that without, quote unquote, acting? And it's all about being present in the moment. You know, we go on with our lives so often where we're just not even paying attention to what's happening. We're not tuning in to our surroundings, what's around us, and taking a moment to soak it in. And that's in your speech. It's no different. Taking a moment to recognize where you are at that point, soaking in your speech and your content, and realizing, okay, let's collect back to that point. Now, I want to go into this with Shanti. Just a quick little segue is, it can be therapeutic in a way to talk about a sensitive subject, but for some people, and we've heard this from a lot of clients, is, do I want to relive those memories? Do I want to get back to that point? And I think it's something important to talk about because it does affect your voice. It does affect how you present it if you're not connected. And I want to say that, on my point of view, I think it is important to reconnect, not to relive those memories, not so it hurts you and damages you, but that you're giving it to the audience, because hopefully your message is not something of pain and hurt. It's something of triumph in the end, a challenge that leads to a triumph, something that you're overcoming or that you overcame at some point, and getting into that core message.
Well, I think you can testify to this, Desiree, and that you'll see I don't live in the past at all.
No, you don't.
Do you see me ever living?
So I know it could be hard for some people to talk about those things.
I don't live in the past experience at all. On a day-to-day basis, I don't live in my past. I don't bring it up. The only time that I do so, and in fact, some of the difficulties that I've been through that you know about, Desiree would know better to do this. I don't just like her bringing it up. And I don't like talking about it. I don't like talking about, for example, the time where I was really struggling with my health. And there's certain things that are subjects that I do not like to bring up in day-to-day conversations because I've moved on. I live in the present moment. However, in a speech context, I may decide to discuss a particular challenge in my life.
Where you feel the audience may need it as well.
Well, there's a purpose to it. There is a purpose to it. Well, first of all, that if I can stand up and say, I survived. I made it through, and you can too. You see, there is a purpose and a reason for it. It's not me just dwelling in it. I find sometimes if you can think about an experience, an emotional experience, being like a whirlpool, there are some people just going around and around in this whirlpool. They're never swimming out of it. They're just getting caught up. If you can see the whirlpool being like a drain, it's sucking them in. And I know a couple of people like this. They're suffering from grief. I have a particular friend who, years after her mother died, could not let go of that experience, could not let go of that grief. It came into every conversation. I mean, I would remember her saying, oh, it's the anniversary of my mother's birthday, or the anniversary of my mother's death, or the anniversary of something else to do with her mother. And it was almost every opportunity, and every time we met, her mother would come into it, and this would be even 10 years after her mother had passed. And I knew that she was stuck in that moment. Now, the point is to my audience is that these things that happen to us, these challenges we face in life, are great content for the speeches. They're excellent content for speeches because you can share your experience. Either people are going to, some of my experiences, very few people, thank God, would ever have to go through some of these things. And maybe in sharing them, I share with them that, okay, their existence may be hard in a way, but they look at that and they think, wow, I never considered that, that there is another, and that person comes through and she's happy and all this kind of stuff. So I use it to encourage people. But I'm not stuck in that, and that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difficulty is that when I'm describing a particular experience, is going to that space. So if I'm talking, for example, about crime or violent crime, and there's one particular incident that really at the time, I for years afterwards, I could not speak about it without my throat closing.
Mm-hmm.
But that also showed me that I wasn't healed from that. I had such a huge emotional plug, if you want to call it that. But I know that when you're able to speak about something that you connect to it so that the emotion is there without getting stuck in it, then you are healing.
And what I love about that, Shanti, is one thing that we always speak about is loving your audience. And it's not just about you, it's about them. And I think if you turn that speech content and you turn it around and you make it sound like you're talking to a group of your friends, you're telling them about your experience so they get to know you on a deeper level, they warm up to you as well. The audience, it becomes easy for you to talk about these things because also it's better for you because you're talking about a painful time, a triumph at the end, but also it's connecting. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen people in the audience when I've heard Shanti tell the audience certain speeches and she gets into this mode and she's telling them, every single time I see no dry eyes. And then at the end, I see people walking up. They may not have had the same experience, but they've had something similar. And they connected or resonated with it in a different way, and it changed their life. We've had this every single time, and I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand, and it's so powerful. And if you change just one person's life in that audience, then it's worth it. Then it's worth it.
And that's the thing. Honestly, folks, if I had to never talk about some of the experiences I've been through ever again, it would... You know, it wouldn't be something, you know, as I said, it's not something I like to bring up. But I honestly do. When I bring it up, I think that if this can help somebody. And by the way, I don't just tell people this stuff as I'm therapy. The audience are then my shrinks. What
No.
I'm doing is I'm deriving a message out of it. So, for example, the crime that I speak about as a family, what we went through, is a message of forgiveness and how forgiveness releases you. And so each one has a core theme and a message. And so everything you, not just survive, I don't want to call myself a survivor. People can either be victims or victors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so I call myself a victor, or my family, what we've been through. We have triumphed through those things, some better than others. But the point is that by expressing that to the audience, I'm giving them hope that there is a way through.
Mm-hmm.
That yes, it is hard when you go through difficult times, but you can make it through, and this is how. You can only help someone through something if you've been in that space. And it's something that I was reminded of once by a counselor when I said, why am I going through all this stuff? I feel like I'm in hell at the time.
Mm.
And I remember thinking, what have I done? Why am I being punished? That was one of the things that came out.
Of course.
Or if this is karma, what did I do? And folks, if you do believe in this sort of karmic rule within a lifetime, I want to understand then why little babies are being raped and hurt and damaged. Some things happen that are not fair. Anyway, that was a segue moving off the point. The main point is that if you've been through things, in a sense, it gives you an opportunity. And everything that you may perceive to be bad is not necessarily bad if you can use it to good.
And I think what I'm taking away from this, I know we focused a lot on that kind of speech content, but it's just being very careful with your words and providing the best information. The pauses are so important. Let the audience just take a minute to digest what you're saying. And I know this month we are going to be focusing a little bit more on, once again, choosing those words, how to incorporate certain things to describe and make it visual of an experience for your audience.
Yeah.
And bringing them there, bringing them to the location.
Taking them
taking them through a journey with you. It's a movie. And
in
then
their mind.
Yeah, it's a movie in their mind, and you're the captain. You're the one directing the ship, and you're taking them through
the
whole. Yeah, you're taking them on this journey, and let me tell you, it's up and down, you guys, but that's what's so powerful, because the end is when you give it away and you tell them, this. If I can get through it, so can you. Something along those lines. Powerful, and drives the point home.
And that's the thing. Last week, really, if you think about it, we really just dipped our toes in the water speaking about just weeding out the filler words. This week, we're talking about the how to say it, and why we mention these experiences is being emotionally connected.
And when I talk about the tone of your voice, remember that the way that you say things, for example, Desiree last night in pumping up the crowd would be using, she must have been smiling a lot.
Oh, yeah.
She was speaking fairly rapidly. She was bringing up the pulse rate of the audience by amping them up and using the wind, as we call it, which means bringing them up, bringing the audience energy up.
Oh, yeah.
If you're speaking about a more somber subject, you slow your voice down.
Mm-hmm.
You become slower, more reflective.
And take your time.
And you take your time.
And look at the audience and just take in that moment right there. And even when you're fast-paced, you take in that moment, but you bring the energy level up. And you kind of can gauge when you're up on that stage, except for if you're a newbie speaker and you see the audience as zombies, you barely even see their faces. Once you get to another level, you'll be able to recognize the energy of the audience and whether you're able to bring them down another level or bring them up to the next level. So you have that ability and control to do that based on how you speak. And let me tell you something, guys. Silence is golden. We spoke about that last week, and it's something that we forget because for a lot of people, silence is awkward, especially in a world where we have so much happening at once that you feel like you need to fill that space. No time can be wasted. You have control up there. Take that time, select what you want to say, and make it meaningful and powerful. And it doesn't, like Shanti said, it doesn't necessarily have to be dramatic all the time or something serious. It can be funny the opposite way. But even if you're making it fun and funny, you have to, it's still the same. Digest a certain amount, but you're bringing your voice and energy level to the next one. I can't show you right now because I'll be honest, my voice is going.
Talking about tone, and obviously we can't give you all of the lessons in one half an hour radio show, but just to remember that the devices at your disposal is, number one, your pitch.
Mm. Which is very down to very deep.
And very high-pitched. High. We're not doing very well with this morning because we haven't done vocal exercises. But you do know that you have a range, and you don't necessarily have to go as low and as high as that. But you have a range in terms of pitch. You have a range in terms of your rate, how quickly you go, how slowly you go, your volume, how loud, soft. All of these things together, and there are more devices, but there are all these things together help you to create something that is more commonly referred to as vocal variety.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes I discover that people in trying to provide vocal variety actually sound like they're singing.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas I love vocal melody, as I call it, I love a voice that is melodious to the ear. And in our classes, we teach, for example, how to speak in a legato, which is very smooth and soothing, and then how to change into staccato, which is very chopped and creates a different kind of feeling, and how you use that to evoke emotion in the audience and move them along and wake them up or calm them down, depending on what you're trying to do. If it is too forced and somebody sounds like they're singing or they've got a voice that has this up and down all over the it really is...
Sing-song.
Yes. And in fact, I'm just going to say this out there. I'm probably going to get into a lot of trouble. Maybe I shouldn't mention a name, but there is
a famous,
world-famous vocal coach that I won't even mention his tagline because people will get to know him. And I've listened and watched a lot of his material and subscribed to his newsletters for a while because he actually coaches some of the most famous actors in the world. So I thought this guy must have something to say. But you've heard this. When he speaks, I think to myself, well, if you are teaching the actors, then I want to hear something from you. And, I hope people aren't listening to me that way. But honestly, when he speaks, it seems so orchestrated, and he talks as though he is absolutely conducting an orchestra.
That could be entertaining.
And it is very all over the place.
Oh, I wish everyone had a video to watch Shanti right now with her hands and how she's orchestrating her voice right now.
But I listen to him, and I am so stuck on what he's doing with his voice, which is so controlled, and it's just not natural at all. It doesn't seem like natural conversation, and to me that puts me off a little bit. So, yes, I'm glad I didn't mention his name, but I do, not wanting to be critical, I believe he has taught me a few things, and that's important. We do actually have a quarter, but I think we're running out of time. But I do apologize, Cordell. I just saw that you were on air, and I apologize that I wasn't able to take your call during this show, but please hang on in there, and perhaps you could just message us and let us know. From now on a Monday, if we have limited time, we've only got the half an hour, so we're not going to be accepting calls on a Monday unless it's pre-planned, that people are going to call in. So please message me via Facebook or Desiree, or email us at info@shantinevin.com. info@shantinevin.com. And if you'd like to have something to say, we discuss it in advance, because it obviously has to be apropos to the show.
Absolutely. Can I give a challenge to the audience for this week?
I'd love it if you did.
My challenge to you guys is to go ahead and just start observing and listening. The number one thing as a speaker, if you want to grow and enhance your skills, is you need to be an observer and watch others. And I'm not just talking about other speakers. When you're at the grocery store, when you hear the checkout person talking to you with your groceries, how does their voice coming off? Do they sound like they've had a long day, they want to go home? What does it sound like? Because remember, how they come across may not, they'll be happy. Oh, how are you? Did you get everything you need? You know, the common things. Were you able to find everything? Listen to their voice. If they said, have a great day, does it sound like they really wanted you to have a great day? Be very, and I'm not saying to judge them, just be aware of how they're coming off with their voice. And then in turn, you can start listening to yourself. How are you presenting yourself to other people? How are
and
you
record
coming across?
Yourself. Folks.
Yes, record yourself. Very, very powerful.
Audio recordings of yourself, and don't be judgmental. Just listen with a non-critical ear.
It's almost impossible, but you have to get through it.
And then a video recording. I realized once, I actually would love to remove. I have YouTube videos that I would love to remove. They're so amateurish and so embarrassing. From 7 years ago, where I was reading a poem.
Now everyone's going to search those right now.
Well, the reason I haven't removed it is because I have a jolly good laugh when I look at them myself. Because one of the things I realized from watching that is what I have a really expressionful face. I have a face that's very elastic, and I don't think I've lost that in 7 years. I have aged, obviously, in 7 years, but I know that my face contorts into all sorts of expressions, and I have very expressionful lips, apparently. My ex-husband used to say he could watch my lips, just the way they move. And it made me very aware when I was watching it that I started becoming self-conscious, actually. But it's important to watch yourself, to listen to yourself, and to observe these little things and your own little quirks. And by the way, you don't need to get rid of all your quirks. Find out from other people. Get honest feedback. One thing that you and I offer each other is absolutely honest feedback. When Desiree, I mean, I don't know if it annoys her, because I will always, you know, I don't do it in a critical way, but I will point out to her.
This morning, the likes, and I caught on right away. I'm like, oh, I am.
Yeah, you didn't see that because I was mouthing. I was going, like. But Desiree is the first person I will turn to after I presented a speech, and I'll ask her for her feedback, because I trust her feedback. She will give me, she's an absolutely brilliant evaluator. And she will offer me feedback, and she will say this or that, or where I did well. There, you know, the greatest praise in the world is when she says, you knocked it out of the park. Then I know, wow, I did well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's even more important to get the critique.
Right.
And very important for you then to join a group of strong speakers. Our club, for example, if you're in the greater Los Angeles area, please come and visit us. Our captivating group meets at the Hilton on the 1st and 3rd Tuesday of every month. You do need to phone in advance to or email us to ask us to reserve a seat, because we do book our room accordingly. Is there anything else you want to say before we end our show today?
Go out there and have a captivating day, as always.
Yes.
As always. I guess I messed that one up. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll just say it now. As always, everyone, stay captivating.